There I am. See, I'm looking on this kid. Now, remember that. I come from this house where they never had a new car. You know, it's a funny thing. It is literally true. This was a real second-hand car neighborhood. In fact, well, anyway, so you see the mill over there in the distance. There it is. I have to describe to you how the mill looked. Oh, boy. Just the way the mountains must be exciting to a guy moving west, so is the steel mill exciting to all the little kids that festered in the million backyards of the great, dreek, drear, inverted bowl of the Midwest. The mill. That's just the way they call it, the mill. The mill was a place of infinite mystery. It was also the place of tremendous excitement and great adventure. Really, and you could see those flickering green and blue and red lights playing on the clouds. 2 o'clock in the morning, you look out of your pad window, you know, you see the smoke rising. And then just once in a great while, if your ears were really sharp and the wind was blowing in the right direction, you'd hear, ooh, the sound of an overhead crane roaring through the dark. Yeah. And then if you got a little bit closer, you could see the big Bessemer converter making its every 20-minute pour-off. Great shower of sparks going 40 and 50 stories into the air. Dong, 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 shoo. Boom. Oh, wow. And on a hot summer night, the idea of a big deal was to drive down to the beach where you could look out across the lake and see inland and Youngstown and Carnegie, Illinois, jutting out into that black water. And it would be reflected in the water. You could just see that whole scene growing and moving and digging and going higher and higher. And we'd sit in the car and look out, and boy, it was what a thing. Of course, the idea always was to go in the mill, to get in the mill. You couldn't even get in, you know. They had more security measures, believe me, than the atomic energy. You just can't get in, that's all. You have buttons and things. You have very official. And the idea was always to get inside the mill. Now, I remember the first day I got in, I'd been down at the clock house, and I knew a guy, and they hired me as an office boy. And speaking of mills, this is WOR AM at FM New York. Kid, it's no different here. So I remember the first day I'm in the mill now, and of course you can't take your mother there. There's just none of that scene. And none of that, and you wear a lumber jacket and everything, and so I get in the truck, and they take me to where I'm going to work, which is in the stationery department, and I'm an office boy, really, they're literally an office boy. I'm 16 years old, and it's in the summer, and I'm taken to the stationery department where Mr. Arnold Moss was in charge. Mr. Moss was my first boss officially, and he wore a hat. No matter what he did, he always wore a hat and a vest. And he walked around, he had rimless glasses, and he was in charge of all the stationery of the whole mill. Do you realize what kind of a stationery department that is? They would have tanks of red ink. Tanks! These guys had pipes coming out, and you'd fill up great big jugs of it and send it out. Oh, yeah, it was insane. And every day there would be 1,000 requisitions coming in from all over the mill for the most insane stuff, like tennis shoes. We got requests for stuff, and it was always a place of great wonder to me. I'd walk around in the back, and I'd smell the rubber bands, and I'd smell all the carbon paper and the typewriter ribbons, and then they would have the long boxes of brand new typewriters. And I'd look at that. Oh, what a heady place! It was a really exciting place, and there'd be little dim yellow light bulbs going way back into our warehouse where they kept the old stuff. The mills, believe me, big industries, big mills are worse than old grandmas living way out in Staten Island who keep old pictures in the attic, old dress forms of when they were 14. You know, when they weighed 87 pounds, and now grandma weighs 320, but she figures one day she'll reduce and she might need it. Well, that's just the way mills are, because all the way back in the back, they had stationery and forms that were out of the days when the mill was making steel by hand, and they had aborigines, you know, chipping flint and stuff, you know. Really, 1887 forms, and way in the back, you'd see insane stuff, and once in a while, I'd say, Mr. Moss, what is that round thing back there? Say, what? What round thing? The big thing with the numbers, it looks like a wheel that they use at the fair, you know, with the guess what number? Oh, that! He says, that's the old time clock. Used to use a time clock. I said, time clock. You know, they had this gigantic IBM system where you would walk in and this thing would x-ray your brain or something. It would punch you in automatically. They could just tell by your thought waves who you were. Dung, dung, dung. You'd hear the guys going through. And here they had this big thing. It was for the whole mill, their clock. You know, it was still in the back. They might need it someday. So that's the way this place was. And I'm this little squirt, and I would sit at my desk. I had this little desk, and I was in charge of things like pen wipers and, you know, number two rubber bands. I was in charge of the double paper clips, the ones that they only used in the forms that they sent the Chicago office. Okay, so once in a while, he'd say, hey, Shepard, I want 17 boxes of number two. Come on, let's go, kid. Get on. And I'd get up, and I'd run on the back, and I'd come back with the things. He'd say, oh, what? I said 17. You gave me 12. What is it? Well, I forgot to order. You forgot to order. Oh, my God. What's Snyder going to say? You forgot. He's on the phone. You know, I forgot. Oh, and I'm running back, and I'm writing out the form. He says, get it in the mail quick. Good God. I was always, you know. So finally, I'm working there most of the summer, and I see these guys loading up the stuff. And they all the stuff that I would put in big bags, like I'd put paper clips and pens, and I would put double multiplying, duplicating ribbons and all kinds of junk, millions of forms, all kinds of stuff. And I would be filling these orders pink and blue and red until finally one day, you know, I'm out there on the dock now watching the guys go out with the trucks. We had three trucks that would take this stuff out in the mill. You know, these guys are real. These were the real Sharpies. These were the guys who had about a month and a half before had been in charge of the number two typewriter ribbons and that. Now they're driving the truck. They're real sharp. You know, they got a hat on. They wear these jazzy hat with a pin on top. Hey, Shepard, will you close the door? I got to get going out to the numbers. I got to get out to tin mill. I got to fool around with you, kid. Let's go. And, of course, this guy's 16 and a half. You know, I'm 16 and a quarter. So, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. I still, like, low. Away you go. He said, wow. And I'm really, really gassed. They had these little Chevy pickup trucks. So I'd stand out there on the shipping dock. I'd watch these guys go out. And then I would go back in, and the phone would ring. They had these inner plant phones, and they had a real sick sound. They didn't ring like phones. They'd go like that. And they'd say, and I'd pick it up, and then I you could hardly hear because it was very bad connections and stuff. You'd hear in the background some guy is trapped on the giant wheels in the coke plant, and you could hear boom boom boom, shoo, boom boom boom, boom boom. What was that? Boom boom boom, boom boom boom. Clunk. He'd hang up, and then Mr. Moss would say, "What was that?" I'd say, "Well, that was the coke plant. What do they want?" They wanted the pink 174D forms. It'd be a sight. What do you mean 174D forms? That's an open heart form. What are you talking about, kid? Well, oh, give me the phone, for God's sakes. He's dialing. Hello, hello, boom, boom, boom. Yeah, yeah, we got a new kid here. Yeah, all right, okay, Fred. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He'd hang up. Oh, 172D forms. Well, I'll get it. He'd walk past me. Yeah. Well, it was that kind of thing. It was a terrible situation all the time. But I, once in a while, I'd do it right, you know, and I'd feel really great. I'd get a call from somebody that says, thanks for filling the order. It's been only 7 months. And at that time, I was not aware of sarcasm, you see. I'd say, well, gee, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah, all right. Boom, they'd hang up. And I'd say, Mr. Moss, the guy from the number two AC called. He's very glad we filled this order. He said it was only 7 months. Ooh, Moss would say, oh, that Weiss. He'd dial. So the life was like that, you know, and all the time it went on. And so one day, Freddie Roller was sick. I'll tell you about the story of Freddie Roller. One day, Freddie Roller, who looked exactly like his name, he's a little short, fat guy with a really snotty sense of humor, Freddie Roller is sick. And Freddie Roller was one of the kids that drove the trucks, the three trucks. And, of course, here they're stuck. Nobody can go out to the number two open hearth and all that. And here, you know, there it is. They're stuck, and it's a wild, insane Wednesday. And Mr. Moss says, hey, Shepard, you got a driver's license? I said, oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, boy. Wow. I take my license. Wow. He looks at it. He says, yeah, okay. He says, you know how to drive that truck? Yeah. Fine, yeah. He says, well, take it out, the number two truck. Go out and take Roller's route, yeah. Well, oh, boy. Wow, I get out there, you know, and I take a look at that truck, and there it is. It's the brand new one We had just gotten sent up from the motor pool a brand new, beautiful Chevy panel truck. You know that kind that looks like a little station wagon, except it's all closed. Beautiful little car. And it's a dark green in Inland Steel's official green colors. You know, dark green, had a big gold 2 on the side. It said stationery department. Inland Steel, a big gold seal on the side there, Inland Steel, with the rails coming out in the sun, shining, and a beautiful thing. Oh, boy, I sit down there in the leather seat, and I get behind it, and a beautiful thing is a brand-new Chevy. I had never driven a brand-new car in my life. You know, the old man's Pontiac, the one you had to hold your finger on the starter for 8 minutes to get it going, you know, and the, you had to pull the choke out for 15 minutes at least, and the smoke would come up the back, and you'd cough, and it had a gas heater in there that would spit at you. Summer or winter, it's like all the time on your shoes. I'll never forget the time it spit on Dorothy Anderson on the way to the dance, and she thought, well, that's another story. So, you know, I'm sitting in this beautiful little car. I mean, they kept them just spotless. See, so I get in this thing, wowie. Sit down there. So in I go, you know, and I'm packing all the stuff in there. It's going out towards the number 2 open hearth, and I'm loading the junk in. Stuff in number 2 AC. Here's coke plant. Here's the rail mill. And the 40-inch soaking pits. I'm putting all the stuff in there. Until finally I got it all loaded up. And old man Moss comes out, and a couple of guys are in their trucks, and he says, all right, now, look, Shepard, I don't want you to, don't fool around on that. Get there and come back, because you're going to have to fill orders. Now get going. Roller's sick. Oh, boy. Oh. Do you, you know, can you remember, Ed, the first time they let you solo on a Collins board? The first time they let you run a station? Really? After you got your, you know? Oh, what a feeling. What a feeling. And I get in this truck and I load it up. And I go wheeling down that long asphalt road. And I'm in the mill, of course. On either side, this thing is climbing up like the Grand Canyon, all the way on up to the sky, belching soot and smoke. And I'm really a part of it now. I'm not sitting down there filling in the forms and sending out the rubber bands. I am driving a truck. And I've got my hunting cap on, pulled down. You know, I had this corduroy hunting cap, and I got my lumber jacket, and I'm sitting in there with my pin on the side of my hat, and I'm driving along. Well, I'll have to explain to you how a mill is. A mill is crisscrossed and just completely sewed up and tied together with millions of little roads that run around among these big buildings. A mill is literally a jungle of buildings and machines and great moving cranes and enormous scales and stuff that shoots smoke and steam and sparks and oil out. And the sound, of course, is like an enormous, just an unbelievable symphony on all sides of you. And I knew every inch of that. I want to tell you that. Because for 3 months before that, I had worked as a mail boy, and I'd run over every inch, just running. So I knew every inch of that mill. And now I am on my way to the 40-inch soaking pits, which is in the heart of the jungle. That is literally heading for the headwaters of the Amazon in the mill world. And I'm going past the coke plant, and I come past the 2 AC, and the roads are getting narrower, and the skies are getting darker, and I am getting snottier by the minute. I am getting more and more, you know, this great feeling of tremendous confidence that rises up in you when you begin to do something on your own. And you really are on your own. And I come up to the 40-inch mill, and I say, hey, you guys, come on, get your stationery. And beep, beep, beep. I don't have time to fool around. Let's go. Let's go. And the office boys who work in there, look, they come out as the new guys. See, they come running out. They say, take it out to the back. Hurry up. Let's go. Let's go. Don't take the 2 AC, that'll kill you. So they grab the stuff, and I close the door. Boom, boom, I spin the back wheels, and away I go, and I'm really playing it big. Well, I am out about maybe a half an hour, and I'm making my deliveries, and I got maybe a half a truck left. And I love that truck. You know, I got the window down, and I got my arm hanging out the side. And once in a while, when I come to a labor gang, I go, beep, 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 out of the way, you guys. Let's go, let's go. Come on, move it. Beep, beep. And they get out, the big old, the bohunks and the Mexicans all get a yes sir, yes sir, and they salute. Let's go, beep, beep, and shoom, stationary truck. Well, I... Oh, boy, you give guys an inch, Dad, and they're going to take a yard and a wide long. I'll tell you, it's going to go all the way. I learned about me then. Give me 1 inch and I'm dead. Well, I come along, see, and I know the mill, remember. I know the mill like I know the back of my hand. And all over the mill, there are millions of railroad tracks. You know that one of the longest mill trains, one of the longest trains actually in the state of Indiana by from standpoint of mileage, is in the Carnegie, Illinois Steel Company. Millions of feet of track are in this place. And they have two kinds of engines. They have the little donkey engine, which is a little switch engine, a steam engine, and they have the great big diesel kind, you know, the kind of, you know, that kind of the big square box painted orange, and all over you see these engines, and they're pulling ingots and pigs and heat rafts and the whole bit. And of course, I'm right in the middle of all that traffic. This is real traffic. Sixth Avenue is nothing compared to this. Big cranes going by, and people, move that, will you? For God's sake! And I'm there's a crane that's 19 million miles high. This guy is way up in the cab looking down, beep, 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 and I go, what? Well, all right, now I'm on my way to the 2AC. And the 2AC is a sneaky building that's set way back. On one side is a couple of blast furnaces, and the coke plant is behind it, and the Bessemer's over here. It's set way back. So I said, oh, all right, I'll cut a... I wonder why Roland ever took this way. I'll cut a half an hour off this job. So I cut in between two buildings. On one side is the 10-inch merchant mill, and the other side is the 100-inch plate mill. I am going just right between these two, and I'm straddling two tracks. I'm going like mad, and just as I get about two-thirds of the way in, right around the corner, here comes this train coming right at me. I'm back up. I'm backing up, and I start to turn around into the shipping. Boom! I am jammed like a slim sliver of kosher salami between two pieces of rye bread. One piece of rye bread is the 10-inch merchant mill wall. The other piece is the side of the engine. Oh, and you should have heard that engineer. What are you doing in this track? Can't you read the signs, you idiot? And, of course, there's a sign 8 miles wide. Do not enter. This is not an area way. There I am stuck. The truck is sort of squashed up in the top, and I'm sitting in the front seat. It is squashed, I can't. And immediately, of course, all the clowns out of the shipping dock come pouring out. They're all sort of anything to get away from work for a couple of minutes. And they're all, and there's a giant debate going on how to get me out. So I'm crawling out the back. I can't go the front. So I'm crawling out the back, and I open the door. The guy says, stay in the truck, will you? You got to drive it back. All right, Freddy, back off. Boom, boom. Have you ever sat within 8 inches of the side of a steam engine? You feel that pulse. The truck is right out here. He's dragging along the side. Gunga, gunga, gunga. He waits. Hey, okay out there? All right, back up. And the truck sort of rocks back down and bounces a couple of seconds. The truck was at least 7 inches narrower than it had been. And there was a bulge on the top. Oh, what a terrible moment. I felt, oh, wow, you know, I just, oh, I was, you know, I felt, there, all these guys, I felt like throwing up, you know, open up the, that's why I did it, I'm sick, you know, we all retreated into all kinds of sneakiness. I'm sick, I couldn't see the sun, the wind blew me, I'm talking about, yeah. So I back up. And I get out to the back of the 14-inch mill at big sizes. This is not an area way, staring at me. Big white letters. I don't know how I missed it. Big, do not come in this place. I turn around and I drive on to the number 2AC, and the truck is going. The wheels are scraping on the back end, you know. It's going fine, except nothing. I can't turn it much. And I get out, and it is scraped from one end to the other. The green paint is just peeled off, you know, on both sides, and I'm sick. Oh, boy, I'm sick. And I throw in the stationery, and the guy comes and says, wow, what happened to the truck? Whew, gee, is that Roller's truck? See, I don't know what happened. I drive on. another 20 minutes, and I'm heading back to Mr. Moss. And I am driving back, and boy, inside of me, there is nothing but a big lump of rancid cheesecake. And it is sitting there fermenting, and I'm driving back, and I'm sweating because I had another route. I had to go out again, you know, the whole scene. I was working. So I drive, and standing on the dock is Moss himself. And I could see that white shirt, that gray hat, and I drive up to the side, and Moss is just looking down. Some fink has phoned them. Some fink has called them up from the 40-inch soaking pits and says, they just wrecked your truck out here with a train. Who is that lout? And I get out, and it must have been the white look on my face. I don't know what it was, the white look or the blue marbles in my head. I don't know what it was that was that did it. He looked at me. He says, come on in. So I go in. He says, here, fill this out. It's an accident form. I had been sending these forms out now for 3 months, and they were just number 17DLX, you know. He says, here, fill this out. Here. He gives me a whole pad. So I start out where it happened, you know, please draw a diagram and all that stuff. He says, here, give me it, will you, kid? I'll fill it out. And so he fills it out completely. He knows exactly where it happened, what I did. He puts it in a brown interoffice envelope, sends it safety department, A. Moss, into the thing, outbox. We sit there. The phone rings. Moss says, what? Yeah, okay, it'll be out there, yeah. Keep your thing on, yeah. He hangs up. That was a typical phone call to the stationery department. It'll be there. Shut up. Boom. So, Shepard, will you go around to the garage and get the old truck? Just go on, get the old truck. Of course, I figured that I was going down to the personnel department. They were going to pay me off for the week, which was $6, and they were going to let me go. You know, the whole thing, I could see myself going home and telling my mother I got fired because I wrecked the truck. I wrecked the truck. I did it. He said, get on, get the old truck. Yes, yes. We had a garage back of the place. I could run like mad. And I go up, say, Clarence, give me the old truck. He said, oh, yeah, yeah, okay, here's the keys. And I get into the old truck, which was just exactly like the new truck, except it was like 6 months older. And I get in this thing, I back it out real carefully. You know, and here I'm in a garage about 400 feet across. I'm backing it out, looking out. I get out to see that there's nothing coming. I back out. I go around the front, and I stop, and I look out, and I hoot the horn so nobody hits. I say, yes, yes. He's loaded up. Loaded up. Go out to the tin mill. Yeah, yes, yes, yes. I go in. I put the stuff in the tin mill, and I start driving. I'm just sitting there driving. I come up to these guys, the Mexican laborers and all the bohunks. Beep, beep. Excuse me, fellas. Excuse me. Beep, beep, beep. Juke, 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 juke. Train 4 miles away. I go beep, beep, beep. Boop, 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 boop. Beep, 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 beep. Boop, boop, boop. 6 miles away is the train. Ooh, the smoke is going higher. I am driving 3 miles an hour. The big sign says, do not exceed 7 miles an hour. I am barely moving. Beep, beep. I'm sitting there in the front seat. My hat is pulled down. Took me 2 hours to do a 17-minute trip. There you go, Dad. That is life in the Midlands. Terrible moments in the mill. Well, speaking of terrible moments, we have a couple of commercials here.